Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus said this. He said, the kingdom is within you. Some people want to translate that, the kingdom is in your midst. It doesn't make a whole lot of difference. The kingdom is within you. Or the kingdom is in your midst. So when you pray, as he taught us to pray, your kingdom come, where's the first place you would expect his kingdom to come? Within you. Or in your midst. When he says, your will, when he said, he told us to pray, and when we pray as he taught us to pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Where's the first place you would expect his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven? In you. Within you. Or in your midst. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6 says this. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but faith working through love. In other words, no religious cocktail that you can concoct or put together of what you do or what you don't do means anything anymore. Because nothing you do can make him love you more, and nothing you do can make him love you less. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. Any kind of religious stuff, any kind of doctrinal stuff, or any kind of theological stuff. It's faith working, in the Amplified, it says something like working or expressed and put to work, or activated and expressed and put to work. I believe it says through love. Hallelujah. For in Christ Jesus, anyone in Christ Jesus tonight?
Yes.
If you're in Christ Jesus, his kingdom is within you. And when you pray your kingdom come, you can expect his kingdom to come in you. When you pray your will be done in earth as it is, if you're sick and you pray your will be done in earth as it is in heaven, well, healing's already been provided in heaven. And you can expect that healing to manifest in your physical body when you pray. And everything else that's provided in the kingdom, and all of our needs are met. My God shall supply all of your needs, Paul said, out of his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So no longer any kind of religious stuff or any kind of do's and don'ts or don'ts and do's mean anything anymore. Because nothing can make him love you less and nothing can make him love you more than he already does. And he proved that at the cross when he says he died for us when we were at our worst. He demonstrated his love for us through dying for us when we were at our very worst, so that we would know deep down on the inside that there's nothing we can do to make him love us more.
Amen.
That there's nothing we can do that could ever make him love us less. Because when we were doing our very worst, that's the point he chose to die for us and demonstrate his love for us. Romans chapter, I think it's, is it 15 or 16? I'll find out in a minute. I started telling a story last week and didn't finish it. I interrupted myself. Went off on it. Must be 16, yeah. Right, it might be 15. Anyway, somewhere in Romans. It's actually in 14. Okay, Romans 14. Chapter 14, verse 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. It's not what you do eat and do drink, or what you don't eat or don't drink. But it is righteousness, say righteousness,
righteousness.
And peace, say peace, and joy, say joy. See if you can say that without smiling. And joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, the story I started telling last week that I didn't finish was, I was speaking about what happened on this island 60 years ago now, 60 odd years ago, in a barn in Barbados. Remember? And people in Barbados had been praying for supernatural intervention in their situation because, as far as they were concerned, things were pretty dark spiritually. in their community. So it was good that they recognized that and they were praying about that. And then a barn in Barvis one night where a group of men had been meeting together for weeks. They'd been meeting together for weeks, asking for God to come and do something in their community. And one night, a young man who had been part of that prayer meeting showed up. He said, "I've been reading in Psalm 24. But it says, 'Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall go into his holy place? But he who has clean hands and a pure heart.'" He said, all of our prayers are just so much humbug. First revelation. All of our prayers are just so much humbug if we don't address ourselves to this question: are my hands clean? Is my heart pure? And at that point, before the question could be answered, as the story goes, there was a break-in of the kingdom. And something broke loose that night in that barn that sadly later on was downgraded to a revival. Because what happened, and I believe I asked the Lord about this many years ago, you can check it out, you can test it if you like, but I believe, because he was the only one that was there that knew exactly what happened and remembers it accurately. Because it says at that point, all of these men who'd been praying for weeks, in the colloquialism of the time, they said they went into a trance. In other words, they fell out in the spirit. Before they could answer the question, God answered the question. Yes, your hands are clean. Yes, your heart is pure. Because the kingdom of God is righteousness. And the kingdom is within you. And the kingdom is already in your midst. You've prayed for something to happen, it's already happened. And because you've asked this question, I've answered it for you. And as I said, very tragically and very sadly, as time went on, it got downgraded to a revival. But that night, in that barn, they had a kingdom break-in. A breakout, if you like, of the kingdom. And they got the revelation of the righteousness that they already were. Because 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. It's a done deal. It's a finished work. You can't get any more righteous than he made you. God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. There's nothing you can do to make yourself more righteous, and there's nothing you can do to make yourself less righteous. Because the kingdom of God is righteousness in the Holy Ghost and in the Holy Spirit. And all you have to do is get in the Holy Spirit. And you won't make you any more righteous, but you'll get the revelation of who you are, of who you truly are, as far as God's concerned, as far as your Heavenly Father is concerned. They were praying for months. Some of them had been praying for years, and the answer was already in the Word all the time. In Romans 10, it says, some of you look so miserable. I'm so glad about the third part of this. I hope you'll be wide open to flow in it. Oh, some of you will break your face if you crack. Come on. Some of you are in danger of cracking your face. Just loosen up a wee bit. Give yourself a wee tickle or something if it helps. Huh? Praying for months for something that the answer was in the Word all the time. In fact, the answer was within them all the time. In Romans 7 it says the answer is in your own mouth. Because you believe in your heart unto righteousness. And with your mouth confession is made unto a manifestation of the kingdom and salvation and healing and deliverance and everything that you might need the kingdom to provide for you. At any time, in any situation, in any circumstance, in any condition that you might think you're in. Because God has declared you once and for all to be righteous. Deserves a louder amen than that, but anyway. The kingdom of God is righteousness. The kingdom of God is peace. The Greek word there, irene, means a state of rest, quietness and calmness, an absence of strife. It means tranquility. It denotes perfect well-being. The Hebrew alternative is shalom, which one rabbi said would be best translated, nothing missing, nothing broken. The kingdom of God is nothing missing and nothing broken in your life. And the kingdom, Jesus said, is within you, or it's in your midst. Everything that the kingdom provides is available to you 24-7, 365. And when 24-7 and 365 is over, there'll be an even greater manifestation of that. Whatever you need, the answer is already there within you. Shalom, nothing missing, nothing broken. Jeanette just said, when she just got the Holy Spirit stirred in her, that how when Jesus spoke to the storm, he said, peace, be still. Why? Because he had kingdom authority. And he said, the same authority that I have, I'm giving it to you. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means, nothing, not a storm, not a sickness, not a demonic attack upon your life. None of these things shall be able to harm you. Because I've given you authority, but you must take that authority. You must exercise that authority. Shared it with you a couple of years ago. The Lord woke me up early in the morning. He said, go tell my people they have the authority to say stop. I've given them that authority. They must take personal responsibility to exercise that authority and stop. Tell them to stop coming to you with bogus prayers. Tell them the answer's in their mouth. First Peter chapter 1. See, the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, is not just righteousness and peace, but it's also joy. Yeah. He always says the best to last, amen? Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 1. Maybe you're going through some tough stuff. Hey, stuff happens, eh? That's the nice way of putting it. You can tell God's going to work my life, you know what I mean? Or you can tell my wife is, at least, you know what I mean? I don't think he'd have much of a problem with that. He kind of tends to tell it as it is, you know what I'm saying? Remember that message that people had barbers all the years ago? I don't know. I was going to think of digging out that message, having a listen. Let's see, 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm not even tempted, brother. That's the work. That's the extent of the work, see? 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant, say abundant. Do you not think that word has a kind of a ring to it? Abundant. Everything he has is in abundance. Never in short supply. Never rationed. Come on, always in everything he has is in abundance. According to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I dealt with everything. Man, if Jesus can rise from the dead, everything's covered. And he did, and it is. To an inheritance incorruptible, imperishable, and undefiled. That means it's never going to fade away. The kingdom that Jesus said is within you is still within every one of his people. The kingdom that he said is in the midst is still in the midst of everybody. It's there. It's available. He said, go preach the message of the kingdom. Go preach the kingdom. Tell them the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And as you go, heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead, cast out demons, freely you have received, because it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom and everything that the kingdom contains. And as you freely receive, freely give. Why do you think people are still reading books about Smith Wigglesworth? He never wrote one, he couldn't write that well, apparently. But people are still wanting to read books about him. Still want to tell stories about him. Still releasing DVDs about him. Do you know what he was? He was just a kind of regular kingdom bloke. According to people that knew him, he was a bit kind of strange in some ways as well. But he just kind of believed God, you know what I'm saying? He said, God says it, I believe it, that settles it. Now, I wouldn't advise you to study his life to try and find out how he did it. Because you might find out that he, as I say, he had some strange ways. But everything that he did and everything that he had, you can have.
Yeah.
Exactly the same. Thank God he didn't wait for the next revival. Before he believed God. Come on. Remember that time he was over in America? Somebody made the mistake of taking him to a wake. You know what a wake is, don't you? Before a funeral, you know. So, introduction to a funeral. The night before the morning and stuff like that. But they took him into this house where someone had died. And he walked in and he just walked through the crowd, walked past everybody and through into the next room. You could see it through. I think there was a glass door you could see. And he walked through to where the coffin was and he ripped the lid off the coffin. He grabbed the corpse, stuck it up against the wall and said, I rebuke you, spirit of death, in the name of Jesus. And the body just slid down the wall. Now, at that point, you're looking for the back door. You know what? You're looking for the fire exit. You think, oh, God, it didn't work. You know what I'm saying? No, he picked it up again. He slammed it up against the wall again. Now, can you imagine how the family are feeling about this at this present moment? And he said, spirit of death, I rebuke you. Come alive in Jesus' name. And the body slipped down the wall again. Well, third time lucky, you know what I'm saying? And he pegged it. I mean, by that time, I'd have been out the window, you know what I'm saying? God closes a door, look for a window. But anyway, so he picks up the body again, and the third time, and the person comes back to life. Why? Because he knew that the kingdom was within him. Because he knew that he had authority. It's a disgrace that they've ever had to write a book about Smith Wigglesworth. But it is. It's a reproach to the body of Christ that they've ever had to write a book about him and that people are still buying them. Because your Father in heaven and my Father in heaven wants us to be writing our own story. You should be in the Stormy Gazette every week. So should I. Well, we were in it this week, praise God. Glory to God. 1 Peter chapter 1. Blessed be God and the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now lives where? In us. That's why the kingdom's in us. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away. Where in the world did these revival prayers come from? Asking for something that doesn't fade away. I'm just trying to help you. Lord, this is the worst anointing you ever laid on me. Nothing you've ever asked me to do made me so unpopular, but I love it all the same. It does not fade away. Reserved, or yes, it's reserved in heaven. You, of course, we'll have to wait till we get there. No, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it's already been reserved in heaven. Yeah, Robert Sliarden one time, he said when he was a young boy, he said the Lord took him to heaven. And one of the things he saw when he was there, he said Jesus was going to give him a tour of heaven. And one of the places he took him to these big warehouses. And on the shelves in the warehouses were limbs. He said, they're all reserved for people. But nobody's asking for them. Nobody's asking for them. Because if they asked, they would get. Yeah. Some people are maybe down there waiting with their fingers crossed. But he says, you ask. Whatever you ask. He said, whatever. Say whatever. Come on, but some attitude. Whatever. Whatever. Come on, whatever. He said, you ask in my name. You'll have it. No, no, we need to deal with this circumcision, uncircumcision, this meat and drink business first. No. None of these things matter nothing anymore. None of these things make any difference anymore. And the more you start fussing with that stuff, the further you away you get from the free provision of heaven. The more you start fussing about revival and all of that other associated stuff, the further you actually get away. It wasn't the prayers for revival that brought that kingdom outbreak. It was the revelation of who they already were in Christ. Hallelujah. Somehow, maybe they got lucky or something, but they aligned themselves with the throne of God, and everything that was always available to them flowed freely into their lives. Hallelujah. And they spent the first few hours, Shondai. Come on. Hallelujah. You who are kept by the power of you. Oh, I remember the day, all these years ago, when the Lord saved me. He's kept you. He didn't just save you and reserve a wee seat for you in heaven when you die. No, He's kept you. And if you haven't known that you've been kept, it's because you've been unkeepable in your head. You've been running around all over the place. Jesus said, don't go here and there looking for the kingdom, because the kingdom is within you. You don't have to go to this place or that place or any other place. I could name a few places, you understand, but I'll hold fire on that. He said, don't do it. He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and then totally ignore what I told you to do? And not to do. Said, you don't have to run here and there. You don't have to spend all your money on plane tickets. The kingdom is within you. Within you. Have a kingdom blast where you are. Come on, we've been 2,000 years and we still ain't got it done. We hardly scratched the surface. If there's anything we need to repent about, it's that. Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now... Hey, are you living in the last time? All you folks that think you're living in the last time and claim and then talk about it all the time? Well, there's something ready to be revealed right now. It's always been ready to be revealed. You see, the last time didn't have to take that long. You know that, don't you? God knew how long it would take. But in the grand scheme of things, it didn't have to take this long. He only knew it would take this long because He knew that's how long it would take us. Does that make sense? Because He knew how slow we were on the uptake. He knew how slow we were to receive what He was freely giving all the time. Just like Israel's journey through the wilderness, it could have been over in the first century. Hello? And we're waiting on the Lord. Well, those who wait on the Lord renew their strength. The ones who really wait on the Lord, they rise up with wings as eagles. They have supernatural renewal of strength. They run and they don't get weary. They certainly don't pray revival prayers because they don't get weary. They run, they walk, and they don't faint. They keep walking in faith. They keep, come on, walking in love. Walking in the truth. Don't miss a step. Hallelujah. And this you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, or distressed by various trials. So that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see Him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. I don't know what that means for you, but for me it means unga bunga bunga sunga bunga. Because that's my joy tongue. That's my inexpressible joy tongue. I mean, look, it's effective. Unga bunga sunga dunga. Singa bungo dungo shunga dinga manga dinga lunga bungo sungo. Hallelujah. It works every time. Joy inexpressible and full of glory. Full of glory. Oh, we're longing to see the glory again. Joy inexpressible and full of glory. You know what glory is? And it says, then it goes on and it doesn't even stop there. It says, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So that your mind and your will and your emotions are all lined up with your spirit, lined up with the throne. Hallelujah. I tell you, anything can happen then. Because with God, all things are possible. That's why Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. No, oh God, please make me righteous. Oh God, I'm trying so hard to be righteous. No, seek first the kingdom of God, knowing who you are, knowing the authority that He's already given you, knowing the power that He's already placed within you. The power that Paul wrote to the Ephesians, and he said, that power that works in us is the power that's able to bring about the exceedingly abundantly far above all that we could even ask or imagine. Hallelujah. According to the power that works in us. It works. What makes it work? Love. Just recognize He loves me. Nothing I can do can make Him love me more, and nothing I can do can make Him love me less. You don't listen to that accusation and say, I know what you did last night. I know how you lost it this morning. No way you can say, no way you can address that situation. You can't use it. No. Have a wee look in there in Zechariah and see what the Lord does with that kind of mess. Remember Joshua the high priest? Satan is at his side accusing him. The Lord says, take these filthy rags off and put a new robe on him. He needs to know who he is. Cut off that mess of accusation. The Lord didn't say it's all lies. He just said, no, cut off that accusation. We're a royal priesthood. We're clothed with royal robes of righteousness that we did nothing to earn. If we got them for nothing, why do you think we're going to have to pay to keep them? Yeah. Come on, here's a free gift, and I'm going to come back for £10 a month from now on. He says he can keep your free gift, Jimmy. I can live without it. Think about it. I'm trying to help you here. I know it sounds, some of you are thinking, this is rocking every bit of religion I've ever been programmed with. Well, hallelujah. Yeah. It's about time. I've been down that road. I'm still on it. And so I would bump myself from time to time. More often than I like. By the end of it, when you discover there's righteousness and peace and joy. Fullness of joy. The joy of the Lord, according to Nehemiah, is our strength. Supernatural strength. Right, if you go to John chapter 15. Hunga bungo. You gotta guess what, man. Inga from Norway, I was here a few weeks ago. He walked into my office. He said, the presence of God is here. He just started to laugh. He phones me two or three times a week, and we just laugh for the first 5 minutes. He says, hello, brother. I say, hey, brother. You know, the Norwegian laugh. Ho, ho, ho. Sounds a bit like Santa Claus. No wonder he's quite close up there to Lapland, didn't he? Ho, ho, ho. Hallelujah. Some of you feeling better already because laughter does good. Like a medicine, there's healing power in that laughter. There's healing power in that joy. It comes to reinforce you, to strengthen you, to to restore you, the broken places, the wounded places, the places, even this week where you've been hurt and wounded. That laughter comes just to cleanse you, to heal you, to restore you, to refresh you. Come on. But times of we sing that, I love your presence. You know what comes in His presence? Times of refreshing.
Amen.
Bungo, bungo. We've got a snorter in the back row. Hallelujah. You know it's real when somebody starts snorting. That's freedom. Aren't you glad we've got freedom to snort? I don't know how you're catching the power of that or not. John chapter 15. You won't find that in chapter 14, I just discovered. John chapter 15 and verse 9. Jesus says this, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you." And then he places a wee bit of responsibility on us. No, not too much. You know, he's not asking anything too hard. He's not asking you to do anything too, you know, difficult or something that's really going to hurt your flesh. He says, "Abide in my love." That's all he's saying. Just hang in there, guys. Just stay in my love. Just stay there. This is the one thing you'll need to do to stay there. Nothing I can do will make him love me more. And nothing I do will make him love me less. I'm just going to rest in his love. The love he has declared over me. The love he has demonstrated on my behalf. So if you ever have a problem believing that, just go like that. I'll sort it. Just go like that. Or go like this. Or do something. Just remember that shape. Have a look at the Norwegian flag when it's hanging that way. That's all you need to do. If you ever doubt it, if you ever question it, if accusation comes against you, just pull up that picture of the cross where he demonstrated once and for all and forever the extent of his love for you. Where he said over your life, "I'll never love you any more than this, and I'll never love you any less than this." Just got a fresh picture and revelation of that, you know, right now. Because I know God showed me this many years ago. You know, the cross is horizontal, it's vertical, and it's also horizontal. And I just saw something there. I just realized that even when you're walking horizontally and maybe walking away from Him, drifting a little bit, He doesn't love you any less. He doesn't love you any less. But in order for you to live in the fullness of the revelation of how much He loves you, you just need to come back to that place where the horizontal intersects. The vertical intersects the horizontal. I nearly said the sex word there, didn't I? That would be really dodgy in church, you know what I'm saying? He said that you might have and enjoy life in all of its fullness. Come on. In everything that He designed it to be enjoyed in, including a marriage relationship that He designed to be enjoyed in all of its fullness. God's not afraid. He put sex all through the Bible because He's not afraid of it. If there's anybody who's not a prude, it's Him. He gave us a whole manual long before the Kama Sutra or whatever it's called. So that sounds like Gaelic, doesn't it? Come out of ash, you know what I'm saying? There's a fellow went into a bookshop, and that was a lie, but anyway. He went to a bookshop, and he was like, "Ah, you know," he was going to ask for a copy of the camera. He saw his name, he said, "Ah, camera ash." He said, "No, man." He didn't need it because it was here all the time. Because the God who designed you gave you a manual for a living that speaks into every area of your life. And declares freedom over every area of your life. See, freedom doesn't work except where God says it will work. You know what I'm talking about. You try and take the freedom that God's brought and try and spend it somewhere else. You know what I'm saying? You go to Romania, you get money, and well, no, you got euros now probably, but back then, you know, you got so much money that you just think, "Well, I'm loaded." It wasn't worth anything. And you couldn't spend it anywhere but Romania. Romanians didn't want it. They wanted German marks and dollars. They weren't even that keen on pounds, but German marks and dollars, give us them. We guys up the back alleys were swapping money, you know. Dodgy guys, you know. And it's the same with the freedom that we have. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Try and separate that freedom from the Spirit of the Lord, and it doesn't work, because you need as many as are led by the Spirit of God, as many as are directed by the Spirit of God, they are the manifestation of the sons of God. They're the ones who bring forth a testimony that God knows what He's doing, that God knows what He's talking about. That God is faithful to fulfill all of His covenant promises in our lives. Amen. Do you know the reason that the world's in such a mess? Because the church has ignored some issues that God committed to them to share with the world as part of the good news. The good news that cures divorce. That rids the world of the evil of divorce. The pain of divorce. It's all in here. The answer's all here. Amen. I made a commitment before I got married. I thought I needed to make this before I got married. Even if Katrina did a Hosea's wife on me, that I would take her back. I don't ever thought that she ever would, but I had to make that. I made that commitment before I took these vows at the altar. Yeah. I'm sure that with many people, but now it's out there, amen. I said, it doesn't matter. I will, because this is real. Because God hates divorce. Doesn't hate divorcees. You understand? See, that there's some people get that all twisted and mixed up. He doesn't hate divorcees, but he hates divorce because he knows the pain. Because you can't tear two lives apart without creating damage. And then if there's children in that relationship, the children get ripped apart. And that's where the real wounding begins. And something is unleashed into the world that's so, so devastating. And until somebody stands up and takes the authority they've been given and says, stop! And the guy says, I had to go and find her somewhere else because my wife wouldn't have sex with me because she's so religious. Well, somebody needs to take them and sit them down and say, here's what God says about that, guys. He said, I'll talk about that. You usually get 4 or 5 people leave the church when you talk about it. I know that won't happen with this crowd. Do you know what I'm saying? But come on. This is what God says about this. I thank God that in the church in these days, people are rising up. They aren't afraid to talk about these things. Someone's need to say, stop. A friend of mine, many years ago, he was on mission. He's an American. He was on mission with his college group. He was doing a missions degree in college, and they went on a mission somewhere, and they were in a small church, and the Lord spoke to him and said, that pastor's wife is withholding from her husband, and he's struggling right now with incredible temptation because his wife is withholding what the Bible says she should not withhold. That's how much God cares. God's interested in every part of your life. He wants you to enjoy every part of your life in all of its fullness. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I didn't come here to talk about that tonight, but we're on the subject, so let's fly. Let's do it. Come on. How can people who believe in healing say they've got a sore head? You know what I'm saying? Come on. What was her name? Josephine? Yeah. Well, you need to hear this then. Jesus said, you are already clean because of the words that I have spoken to you. Listen to what he says here in John chapter 15. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Oh God, I knew there was going to be a catch. Here we come. We're coming to the small print now. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full, because everything He gives us is in fullness. Everything that He gives us is in abundance. And then thank God, He didn't stop there. He says, this is my commandment. This is my commandment. It's not about circumcision or uncircumcision or meat and drink anymore. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Is that too difficult? Sadly, some of us have said, yes, that's too difficult. That's too hard. I can't love them. You don't know what they did to me. That's why he never asks you to do anything, but he supplies what you need to do. In Romans chapter 5, it says he pours his love into our hearts. He doesn't drip it in. He doesn't intravenously get it in. Don't know the technical term. Well, it's on the carousel somewhere and I haven't got time to wait for it. I'll take your word for it. He pours it in. Because that's how he does it all. That's how he does everything. And he keeps pouring it in. Because he's got an abundant supply. He's got a never-ending supply. And all you have to do is say, okay, Lord, I want to love him. Boom. You just get under the gusher. Because the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy. There's one thing that will steal your joy. It's that refusal to love. Because you want your joy to be filled, just love one another. And I'll supply the love that you need to do it. Fullness of joy. Faith working through love. Who knows, we have a word for every circumstance and every situation. He's given us a word. And it works through love. I know this word will work for me because he loves me. And he wouldn't give me a word that wouldn't work because he loves me. And there's nothing I need to do to make the word work apart from just speak it out. And the love I know that he has for me will energize and empower that word so that it comes to pass, just like he said. That's why it says in John 16, verse 33, and we'll just go a few minutes more and we'll be done. I haven't a clue how long we've been going. A long time? No, no, I don't think so. John 16, just talking to myself, just having a wee... Anyway. John 16, verse 33. John 16, verse 33. Mustn't forget our theme. See, Katrina hasn't got... She's not quite in agreement with me with this one right now. That you can laugh any time you want. She said, no, I like a good laugh, but I need somebody to make me laugh. It has to be funny. I said, no, you can just laugh anytime. She phoned me up the other day with the most ridiculous request I'd heard in my life, and I just laughed. You know, the phone rings, and it's Katrina, and you can tell she's talking kind of quietly and really fast. When I heard what she said, I'm not going to tell you what she said, but when I heard what she said, I thought, that's the most ridiculous request. I just laughed. I thought, but you know, when something comes against you, when something's bad's going on, when something's going wrong, do you know you can just laugh? Well, to quote good old Brother Wigglesworth, he's now part of the great cloud of witnesses, saying, come on, Donnie, I like it when you talk about me. No, he doesn't. He said, if the Holy Ghost doesn't move me, I move the Holy Ghost. And people read that in the book and then just ignore like he said it and just, well, it wouldn't work for me that. You know, I'm not sure about that bit. You know, cut that bit out. Stir up the gift that is within you. The kingdom is already within you, and it's righteousness, and it's peace, and it's joy. I don't need some comedian or some to tickle me. I can just laugh. And laughing is powerful because it's joy, and it's the joy of the Lord, and it releases the strength of God, and it releases the power of God, and it turns back bitterness, and it turns back that spirit of rejection, and it turns back resentment, and it turns back all of the negative garbage that the enemy tries to sow into your life on a daily basis. John chapter 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. This stuff will try and get on you. That word means pressure, oppression, stress, anguish. Come on, we live in a stress-filled culture. Tribulation, adversity, affliction, crushing, squashing. Any of these things sound familiar to you? Squeezing, distress. All of these things, he said, in this world. You'll have opportunities to experience these things, but be of good cheer. Out of the place of peace, because of the word that I've spoken to you. Let the joy, switch on the joy, flick the joy switch. Joy inexpressible, full of glory. The glory of God, the Bible says, will be your rear guard. The glory of God will build a shield of protection around you. Joy inexpressible and full of glory. Well, the glory of God will show up because in laughter. Oh, no, brother. Oh, yes, sister. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I don't need to do this. I'm not doing this to try and impress you. I do this in my car on my own. I do this sitting at my desk in my study. I do this lying in my bed. What are you laughing at? Because the kingdom is within you. The answer is within you. All the time. Continually. I don't really want to say this because I want to keep it for next week. But I will. Oh, no, I'll just chuck it out right now. The buzz scripture, folks. 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14. You know what it's talking about? I know, I'll just leave you with that, right? I'm going to come back to that next week. I know, it'll take too long to get it out there properly. Have I whet your appetite? Did I whet your appetite? Oh, hallelujah. Be. It just says be. Doesn't say do, just be. I've got a switch, a joy switch. Click. Bunga bunga shunga dunga. Singa bunga runga runga bunga bunga dinga shunga lunga bunga sungo dunga bariyanga da manga dinga rungu bu sungo dunga bunga dinga honga. Give yourself a break. Give yourself permission. Let it flow. It's in you. Let it flow. It's powerful. It'll knock out some debris. Just let the gusher flow and knock out some of that stuff that the Philistines have blocked your wells with. We're here to redig the wells. Get a life. Get a wife if you can as well. They're pretty good too. I've never seen anybody so miserable as you to redig the wells. There's a well in you. Redig that well. Start spreading the refreshing everywhere you go. Release that well. Walk into the world and go, ha, 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 ha. No, you don't have to do it. Just go down and laugh. What are you laughing at? I'll tell you, come and have a party. Get the work done as well, you know what I'm saying? But spread the joy. Hey, we're coming up to Christmas. Joy to the world. That's what the angel said. Not gloom and doom. Not fire and brimstone. Not turn or burn. No, joy to the world. Bunga bungo. Come on. How did we end up in this place? Church, come on. How did we get there? Just a few wrong turns, that's all it takes. And in Galatians chapter 5, in the Amplified verse, it's a slight inclination to error. You know, if you want a head start in pushing your car, just park it on a slight incline. It doesn't have to be a big incline. Just a slight incline. a slight incline to error. It says, leaven's the whole lump, or a few false teachers. I can't remember what it says after that. But I'll go there. I'll read it to you, and then we'll just finish in a minute. Okay, you ready? To let that joy flow in your life. Hallelujah. I'm sure I wrote it in here once. My apologies for not having instant recall on this one. Must be a wee while since I quoted it. I've been trying to get away from that false teacher stuff, you know what I'm saying? Tibarabushakabunde. Hallelujah. Oh, no wonder it's not there. In the wrong book. A slight inclination to error or a few false teachers perverts the whole conception of faith or misleads the whole church. Just a slight inclination, just a few wrong turns, and you end up in a place where the people of God can't give themselves permission to flick the joy switch in church. And we got ourselves a name that we're the most miserable bunch of doer-faced spoil sports, to put it nicely, ain't to be found anywhere. In any, even, come on. How could that be? When he said the kingdom is within you. And the kingdom, it's righteousness, and it's peace, and it's joy. Fullness of joy. Joy inexpressible and full of glory. And it doesn't fade away. It doesn't come and go. It's not, come on, it's there. It's accessible all the time, continually. And for every difficult circumstance and every hard place you find yourself in, there's joy available that will turn the whole mess around. There's peace that calms the storm, that stills the storm. And there's righteousness that allows you to walk into God's presence any time of the day or the night without a sense of fear or guilt or shame or condemnation. He's the one that invited us to come boldly. Why? Because he's clothed us with his righteousness. He's called us his sons and his daughters. He's given us access. You don't go in there afraid of him. You go in there because you're afraid of something else. The only time I made that trip from my bed to my parents' bed was when I was afraid of something. I wasn't afraid of going to them. I was afraid of the journey, but I wasn't afraid of what would happen when I got there. I knew I'd find a place of security. I knew I'd say, oh, well, come on in then, and then the blankets would go over you, and you'd spend the rest of your night. Three snorers in one bed, you know. What a racket. Come on. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. So that which cannot be shaken will remain. Hallelujah. You don't come into his presence afraid of that. When did it get turned around like that? When it became that the presence of God makes you feel really bad. No, everywhere Jesus went, people felt good. Because everywhere he went, he was doing good. When someone's doing good, it makes you feel good. It doesn't make you feel bad. It makes you feel good. See, that just these little twists, slight and now the people who declare the truth of this, they're called the false teachers. Just like I said to you this morning, I read it this morning, John chapter 19. Pilate, the Roman governor, a man raised in all kinds of debauchery and thought it was normal, said about this man Jesus, he said, I don't find any fault in this man. I want to release him. And they stood up and they said, we have a law. And according to our law, he's guilty. Crucify him. I don't want to crucify him. I don't find anything wrong. Crucify him! We have a law! Jesus came to turn that mess around. He never anointed one preacher to go out there and say, we have a law!
You wicked sinners, you lawbreakers! He said, you go out and you preach the kingdom. You tell them the kingdom of heaven is just drawn up right near to them. And you demonstrate that kingdom by healing their sick. Jesus never got angry with one sinner once. Not once. He blessed them with whatever they needed. Sinners in the hands of an angry God, no sons in the arms of a loving father. That's what Jesus came to demonstrate. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Shakaba. Hungabungo. Ha. Be of good cheer, Jesus said. And even when people turn against you, this is what he said. He said, happy are you. You happy people, you. Matthew chapter 5. I'll just finish with this in a moment. I'm not quite done, but we're just nearly there. Matthew chapter 5. I love this. I could do this forever. You know, we could be here for hours. This is it. This is it. You know, it just gets better from here on in. Amen. You don't have to start feeling worse before it gets better. This is when it starts to get better. Come on. I've been there. I've spent years of my life trying to feel worse. The first time I took communion, I thought you had to feel really bad about it. I felt guilty because I didn't feel bad enough. I was wondering if I should be there because I thought, I know I'm supposed to feel really bad about my life. But I was just, God said do it, so I was doing it. Why is the preachers out there trying to make people feel worse? Instead of bringing them something that makes them feel better. It's like, well, you got to get worse before you get better. No, you don't. Just start here and get better. This is the starting point of better. This is the starting point of more than enough. Of how much more? Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7. Or something. Verse 11. Blessed or happy or supremely blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Who knows? That can hurt your flesh. I mean, sticks and stones will hurt my bones, but names will never hurt me, break my bones. But that, I mean, all know that was a lie. Many of us who had nasty, negative playground experiences know that's a total lie. But Jesus has the solution. Remedy. He says, rejoice.
No! The flesh says, no, Jesus! No! No.
Just no. He says, rejoice.
Come on! You having a hard time people saying nasty things about you?
Well, he says, that's kept me alive. That's kept me alive. Rejoice and...
Rejoice and try and paint a smile on your miserable face. Be stoic, chappy, old chap. You want to be English? Well, we're not, we're British.
He didn't even say, rejoice and try and brighten up a wee bit. He says, rejoice and be exceedingly... glad, with joy inexpressible and full of glory. For great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Hallelujah. I tell you, you know, if you come out there with that message, you know what the people in your workplace are going to say? I don't see anything wrong with him, man. I can't find anything wrong with him. I've watched his life. I've examined him. I can't find anything wrong with them. Now, the religious people might come knocking on the door and say, don't listen to them. They're a bunch of this and a bunch of that. False prophets. Blah, 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 blah. And they're going to say, I don't find anything wrong with them. But we have a law. Well, thank God there's no circumcision nor uncircumcision anymore. You want to stay clean from the inside out? Let the gusher flow. Just begin to stand up on the inside. I know who I am. Because I am who my God says I am. I know what I can do because I know what my daddy says I can do. I know, you can't tell me I can't have that. I know what I can have because I can have what my daddy says I can have.
Nah. Come on. That's all the devil ever needs to hear from you. Nah. That's scriptural, you know. I'll prove it to you. And I'll finish with this. I'll just arm you and equip you with this to go into this coming week knowing that you have a joy switch that you can flick any time. And if that devil keeps pestering you, then this is what you need to do because it's scriptural. Because he has your word for every situation, doesn't he? Jesus said to the president, I want to do it the way he did it. Do you know him? Anybody else want to do it the way he did it? Anybody else a follower of Jesus? Anybody else want to say, that's my big brother. I want to be like him. I had a big brother, he was 6 years older than me. I thought, I want to be like him. I used to wear his clothes, I'd steal his clothes. When he'd go off to college and I'd nick into his room before I went to school and put his clothes on. People would say, my brother, I saw you downtown, that wasn't me, Willis. He was wearing your clothes. He said, there's a paper round and I would take the jumper off. You know, he didn't realise he had BO, you know, and he could come out the wardrobe clean. The days before Brute 33, you know what I'm saying? And I'd stick it in my newspaper bag and sneak it back into the house and put it back in the wardrobe. He'd take it out the next day and put it on. He'd go, what in the world is that? I wanted to be like my big brother. Don't know if Ali ever wanted to be like me or not, but... Did you, Ali? Please tell me you did. I want to be like Jesus. And this is what he did. He disarmed principalities and powers, and he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Nah. Let's stand up. You see, the only problem that the church struggles with is to maintain its possession. To maintain its possession. And instead of maintaining its possession and living out of the possession that God has declared over it and that God has placed it in, it drops back down to the level of its experience. Doesn't know how to recover from experience to possession. Well, you just simply take what he says. You just acknowledge that he said the kingdom's within you. And the kingdom is righteousness and peace and joy. And you see, according to Ephesians, we are seated, in Ephesians chapter 2, he seated us with him in the heavenly places. And according to Psalm chapter 2, those who sit in the heavenly places laugh. Come on. So will you take your possession? I want to just ask you a question, very simple question as we close. Will you take your possession? Will you just take your possession and believe the words that he spoke over your life and the words that he's left with us? He said, these words I've spoken so that you may have joy. And that your joy might be full. If God can sit in the heavens and laugh, then I can sit with him and laugh. You know, that laughing's kind of infectious unless you're really stubborn. Like some of you in here tonight. You know what I'm saying? You see, I've got a connection. I'm connected with the Father who sits on his throne in heaven. I'm connected to him by the Holy Spirit. I've been joined to him. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. When he laughs, I laugh. Unless I'm rebellious. Unless I'm too religious to believe that he would ever want me to laugh with him. When difficult situations come, I don't react out of my experience. I react out from my possession. I react from a position of authority that he's placed me in, and I laugh because he's laughing, I'm laughing. It wasn't my idea, I didn't think it up. It wasn't anybody else that thought, it wasn't Rodney Howard Brown that thought, oh, that's for sure. Come on. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your precious, precious, precious people here tonight in this room. Thank you, Father, for the provision that you've made for every one of us and the possession that you've brought each one of us to, whether we're willing to acknowledge it or recognize it or believe it or not. I thank you that we already have that possession, just like that older son in the story you told, Lord Jesus, who had a possession and yet he failed to access everything that was available to him through that possession. And all he did was moan and complain about the ones who did.
We bring accusation against the ones who did. So, Father, I pray here tonight, Lord, that each one of us would just retake our possession. Lord, that we'd believe the very simple words that you spoke to us, that the kingdom is within us, it's in our midst, that the kingdom is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Lord, that even in the most difficult and the hardest of times, that we have a joy switch that we can flick. That we can recognize we're connected with you. And just as you laugh at the enemy's schemes, Lord, we can laugh with you. Lord, and we can be a further demonstration of the open spectacle that you have brought him to. And we can see the kingdom of heaven advance and the kingdom of darkness be defeated. Right here, right now. In this place, in our personal lives, in our family lives, in the life of our community, in the lives of our churches, in the lives of the villages that we represent, the townships we represent, the nations we represent. Thank you, Lord. We don't have to downgrade the kingdom to another revival. But, Lord, that we can receive an upgrade. Thank you, Lord, that in your kingdom there's no first class and second class. There's only first class. There's only kingdom class. Father, tonight I pray that each one of us would choose to take our position right up there in first class. In kingdom class. Hallelujah. As close to the pilot as we can get. Hallelujah. Into the places of silver service, Lord. No more cattle class. No more wilderness cycles, Lord, but a people who know how to advance. In Jesus' name. Pray your blessing on each life as we go into this coming week, as we go back to the places, Lord, that you have opened up for us to be witnesses. Lord, that we would freely give what we freely receive, that we'd spread the joy, that we'd spread the love, and that we'd spread the life, overflowing your kingdom everywhere we go. Not with harsh words, not with accusation, not with criticism, not with condemnation, but with words that are fueled with hope. Kingdom hope. In Jesus' name. Amen.